It's Hasselbeck time. Tim on the line to begin hour number three. We are ready. Darren, Donnick, and Chase. Yes, Chase is in the mix.
Hi.
By the way, it'll be a Hasselbeck hour tomorrow as well in the third hour.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Brother Matt.
Or is it Matthew?
Or Matthew, if that's what Tim says. Matt is supposed to join us tomorrow during the third hour. So just saying. Tim, how we doing?
Doing great. If you're in the circle of trust, it's Matthew. So,
okay,
you know, like Willie and Chase can go Matthew. Darren, since we like to keep you at like an arm's distance, you can go with Matt.
Okay. Yep. Makes perfect sense.
Good to know.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, listen, I know it's been hard for him, you know, with me coming on today, you know, him coming on tomorrow. It's been a long life for him living in my shadow. So hopefully you guys don't, you know, wear him out too much on that.
Elijah, we should probably save that for tomorrow.
Might as well have that one queued up and ready to go. I don't want you to know where we stand on this, but I just want you to throw out a percentage, your opinion. What is the percentage that Ryan Tannehill will not be the starting quarterback of the Titans next year, next season?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's operate, you know, with the assumption of, like, guys are healthy in the off-season program. You know, he still has a desire to play football. If those things are true, then there is 0% chance that he is not the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so cue that one too. Save that for all this. That's literally because I didn't want you to know, because we were talking about this in the first hour, and I'm like, you know, this market has missed the boat. Like, this conversation should have been had 2 years ago when it was realistic of making a change, and nobody wanted to do anything. But now everybody's realized, oh, we got an upgrade from Ryan Tannehill. Well, too late. It's too late. That ship has sailed. They've got a big fat contract attached to him. And, oh, by the way, the people you're throwing out there to go get, yeah, sure. Then what kind of team are you going to have around him? Good luck with that. Draft picks and a bigger contract. I mean, good luck with that. It's too late. These are the conversations we should have had about Tom Brady when I was saying bring Tom Brady here, when it was realistic.
Yeah, look, and I'll take it a step further and say, like, doing what they did was not a mistake. Re-signing Ryan Tannehill, same time that you re-signed Derrick Henry to, you know, play this past season and end up with the one seed, you did not make a mistake. Like, everyone's disappointed with how it ended. But, like, Green Bay's disappointed with how it ended. Kansas City signed Patrick Mahomes to a $500 million contract. They're unhappy with how the season ended. Like, it's okay. You can have made the right decision and still be unhappy with how the season ended. And there doesn't need to be an overreaction on, you know, what happened in, you know, one playoff game to all of a sudden change how you feel about, you know, what the team's direction going forward should be. Like, that's how I feel about it.
And that's fine. I'm going to disagree because I think we would have been having a parade in Nashville if they would have done that 2 years ago. But that's just me.
Well, hold on a second, though, Darren. Hold on a second, though, Darren. Were you definitely getting him?
That's it, Darren.
You can't tell me what the relationship
the
with Braymo
exact,
Robinson.
Did you?
That it
did we not
be
have
the
same conversation? Tim is right on the money. I could not
Darren,
have scripted it better.
Here was the problem about going for that. Brady had an idea of where he wanted to go. Tennessee was not one of those spots, you know, and to sit here and act like, you know, there wasn't some type of contact made to test his interest, to gauge his interest on it, you know, we know that there was some talk about it. And the challenge ends up being is you go and you pursue him, okay, that was going to change your timeline on re-sign Ryan Tannehill. And if you didn't get him, then how do you go back? Like, I remember saying it to you guys when it happened. If you're going to get in the sweepstakes, you better win it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, now you just blown the whole thing up and you didn't even get your guy.
I don't believe there was any serious pursuit of Tom Brady. I believe they already made up their mind Ryan Tannehill is their guy. He's younger,
Tom already knew where he wanted to go?
No, I think you could change his mind. With that relationship, you can be like, hey, we want you here, pal. Look at our roster. We're good enough. We're just as good as Tampa to get it done. You could have convinced him, but I don't think they were trying to do that.
We know. They weren't that good then. They didn't have the people around them then. Like, you looked at Tampa. Like, Tampa had receivers, you know, falling off of trees.
Yeah, but, Tim, this team had been going to the playoffs. Tampa has been an 8-8 team. They weren't going to the playoffs. They have one playoff appearance since they won the Super Bowl in
2002? Here's what I'm saying. A couple of things. One, you better make sure that you get him if you were going to, and there was no guarantee on that. So if you didn't, where would it end up? You know, the other aspect of it is the success that, you know, Ryan has had here, you know, it's, I believe, in part because of the way they run offense and the way they are like this run-first team and have been a run-first team, you know, his ability, you know, to move has been a big part of that. So, like, we went through the numbers in the offseason of, like, guys outside the pocket, guys creating offense, and where Ryan Tannehill ranks on all of that stuff. Well, like, there's a reason that he was in that mix, even though he's not a quote-unquote running-slash-scrambling quarterback. It's because of the way the offense had been designed. So,
do you believe this team can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill?
I do. Let me ask you something. Would the Titans have won a Super Bowl last year with Tom Brady as their quarterback like Tampa did?
Yes. If Tom Brady was
last
here,
year,
yes.
With those receivers that were healthy in the playoffs last year.
And Gronk in the mix? Yes.
Well, why would they have gotten Gronk when they had Jonnu Smith last year and the way they were set up at tight end?
You're going to pass on Gronk?
He's saying Gronk would come with Brady.
I'm saying Gronk would have came with Brady, just like he did in Tampa. He would have done the same thing. Reunited, yeah, I mean, and it feels so good
Gronk,
would have been here.
Does Gronk play defense? Did you see?
I understand, you know, that's where Tim is going.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other. And listen, well, that's a great point. Remember, it was they were like 50% on third down last year as a defense.
It was brutal. How much better could the offense have played? That's the other part of it.
Yeah, I don't think the Titans would have won a Super Bowl last year with Tom Brady. I don't. And so, you know, at that point, like, you have a quarterback that then is retiring after this year, and you could argue whatever you think the team would have done this season. But I feel like there has been the playoff game was bad for Ryan. It was bad for a lot of other guys. But, like, I think to be like, you know what? Like, this is a bad move. We should have done something else because of that. I just think it's an overreaction to, you know, to kind of the season and what they've built so far.
Well, I'm not overreacting to anything. I was the one on these airwaves that entire offseason saying, bring Tom Brady here. Why? Because he's elite. Ryan Tannehill is not. So I haven't changed my tune at all. I was pro Tom Brady, 100%. My only frustration is, oh, so now everybody's figured out Ryan Tannehill is an elite. So now everybody, let's talk about upgrading when you can't. It's too late now. Why are we talking about this? You just said it. That's why I set you up to answer it and didn't tell you how we stood on it. You're right, 0% chance. Yet we're sitting here talking about it. National media is talking about it. I mean, people at your network are talking about it when it has no chance of happening. Zero.
Yeah, so, like, how about this? So let me ask you this. So as an organization, you're John Robinson and you're Mike Vrabel and you want to be good in 2022 and you want to be good in 2023 and 2024, okay? And you look at what the position that you've put your football team in with the guys you've signed, guys you've re-signed, who you've drafted, and all of that stuff, okay? Do you look at it now and go, man, we messed up and should have signed Brady instead, and our reboot on the quarterback position this year for 2022 would be what quarterback?
All I care about is the window of winning. And if I believe that a parade would have happened here, everybody does. Nobody cares about the fallout. Nobody's going to care in L.A.
Is the window of winning over?
Well, no, it's not. It's not over. But I mean, all of a sudden, nobody believes that Ryan Tannehill. You said yes, but most people here no longer believe that. They're not in that camp anymore. Everybody after the Bengals loss is like tapped out. Like, okay, moving on. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Hey, you know who else didn't play well in the first season? You know, Russ? Tom Brady. Tom Brady had a really bad game when they were eliminated this year. You know who else played poorly in the playoffs?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Yeah, he did. Well, look, I picked Tampa to lose this year. I picked the Rams to beat them, so I'm not surprised. They had a lot of injuries and a lot of bodies not available to them. So I wasn't surprised by the loss at all. But I also picked them to win the Super Bowl last year and said they are going to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I know we'll never know. I think I'm just saying, why are we having this conversation now? Would you answer the question correctly? It has 0% chance of happening. Like, I don't know why we're all wasting all this time.
To be real with you, I have no idea why people are having the conversation of who's the Titans quarterback going to be. I have no idea why people are having that conversation. Just like I said to you guys last year over and over again, you know where Aaron Rodgers is going to play? He's going to play in Green Bay.
Yep.
And here's the other thing about Aaron Rodgers and his control about a situation. I said it to you last week. Let's not forget that the difference between Peyton Manning going to Denver is the Colts released him because they were drafting Andrew Luck. And the reason that Tom Brady went to Tampa is because he was a free agent, because his contract expired and they let him become a free agent. Aaron Rodgers is under contract. And even though he's got a high cap number, you know who ultimately is in control of where Aaron Rodgers plays? The Green Bay Packers. So, like, we can talk all offseason, which I'm sure we will, about where Aaron's going to go. But everyone needs to realize it is not just Aaron's call. It's not. Now, he can decide to hold out and make their life miserable, but he's already kind of, tipped his hand in terms of not doing that, because how that will affect guys that he cares about. Davante Adams, being the primary guy.
Yep.
So, the one that we should be talking about, and it came up last year and it felt like we weren't paying enough attention to it, is Russell Wilson. Because had the Chicago Bears had a quarterback to offer Seattle last year that Seattle wanted, Russell Wilson wouldn't have played as a Seahawk this past season.
Okay, let's pick up that on the other side. We'll get Tim to weigh in on that. Good stuff with Tim Hasselbeck. He's brought to you every week by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. More with Tim Hasselbeck next.
Segment two with Tim Hasselbeck. We're talking NFL football here on Super Bowl week, 102.5 The Game. So, Tim, I'm actually looking over some Russell Wilson stats as I await your thoughts on what happens with him in the offseason. As I understand it, he's still under contract with the Seahawks, right? But there is an out in his contract. So tell me what you see the future looking like there.
I just think that he's unhappy there. I think they are unhappy with him. I think that he has not played as well, as he had in the past. And so because of that, I think that he'll be on the move. Now, the timing ends up being key. When you look at contract situations, so like, let's kind of look at it. Like he has, he's a base salary of about $20 million in 2022, which, like, as starting quarterbacks go, as we know right now, is not crazy. Now, like, the cap number's high because of the bonus at 37, so it's like $37 million and $40 million in terms of the cap hit over the next two seasons. So, like, he's a prime candidate for a trade, an extension to kind of kick the can down the road a little bit. And so, when you look at openings and you look at this draft class, what is the, what ultimately could be the landing spot for him? Look, I mean, the the Saints, you know, certainly could be a landing spot with him. Tampa's going to have to figure out their situation. You know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of direction Houston wants to go in. So I think there are, you know, a number of factors, number of landing spots. You know, Denver, you know, probably needs to be in the mix. So I think all of those teams are going to be in a situation where, look, they need to evaluate the position, figure out where their football team is now, and then also look at this draft class and figure out if, you know, if signing, you know, Russell Wilson makes more sense. To think about this, he's been in the league 10 years. He's, you know, just over 33 years old. You know, Russell Wilson, with his style of play, you know, there's no reason to think that he couldn't play until he was 40.
Turning our attention to the game on Sunday, I'm curious the matchup that everybody's talking about, the Bengals offensive line versus the defensive front of the Rams. To me, if you know, if the Bengals could make that work, they've got a chance. If not, it could be a long day. But tell me how you think that matchup looks.
Yeah, it's a horrible matchup for Cincinnati. And, you know, much like we've seen it kind of be a horrible matchup, whether it was against the Raiders or whether it was against the Titans, you know, they've been able to survive it. Like, they were able to survive it against, you know, the Raiders because, you know, most of the pressure, you know, came by way of, like edge rushes. And so there's ways to kind of deal with that. You know, against Tennessee, it was a little bit different because kind of was coming from inside, you know, Simmons, Autry, guys like that, as well as outside. It was a problem. The issue for Tennessee was you couldn't score, so it didn't end up ultimately impacting the game. And then, you know, and then against Kansas City, you know, ultimately they just were able to make enough stops. Like, it wasn't like Burrow wasn't under pressure. It was they made enough stops defensively, and then Burrow did an excellent job of escaping. And I think he ran for 3 first downs in that game on scrambles. And then created a couple of other plays, like, you know, gets out of the grasp of Chris Jones and is able to make a play. So saying all of that, here's the deal why I think it's a huge issue. Right guard has been the biggest problem for Cincinnati. Like, everyone can sit here and be like, hey, their offensive line hasn't been great. That is true. But the true pressure point, the true weak link for their offensive line has been right guard. So they've got Adeniji playing right guard, and then Jackson Carman, who you know, played tackle at Clemson, has kind of been in and out of the lineup with him at right guard. They just can't hold up, and that's a harder position to constantly be giving help to when you don't know if Aaron Donald is going to line up over the right guard or if he's going to line up over the left guard. So how do I think it plays out? I had to submit my Super Bowl pick for the game. You know, I picked the Rams to win, and I picked Aaron Donald to be the MVP.
There you go. Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And, you know, talking about matchups in the game, the secondary for Cincinnati going up against that receiving core that L.A. has. And I know that, you know, Robert Woods obviously lost for the season, but Odell Beckham has come in and really done a nice job. And we obviously know what Cooper Kupp can do, and then Van Jefferson, who's a local product here, you know, his fit well. So how do you see that matchup playing out?
Yeah, you know, I think the advantage for sure is the receiving crew for the Rams, and I think that, you know, you're right about, you know, like the core in general. Now, Kupp's the guy that kind of makes everything go. He's the most important piece. But it is clear that the chemistry and rapport and then the usage in the red zone for Odell Beckham has improved, increased, just gotten better, you know, as time has, you know, gone along between Stafford and Beckham. So, you know, and then look, like, Higbee's a good player at tight end. Like, they have a good group. I will say this. I do think that Eli Apple's had a good year. I think that the secondary in general really for Cincinnati has played well. And, you know, I think the key, the guy that I believe has to have a really good game is Jesse Bates, the guy that, you know, picked off the first pass of the game against Tennessee. He's a guy that's made probably five kind of game-altering type plays in the postseason this year. He's not a perfect player, but he's got great instincts, and he's shown up in big moments. I think he's the guy that needs to have a great game in order to keep things close for Cincinnati defensively.
Before we let you go, I did want to go back to the Titans for a second. Tim Kelly joining, as I actually reported on Saturday, he'll be passing game coordinator and senior offensive assistant, the former OC of the Houston Texans. How do you think he fits with what they want to do offensively and most notably Ryan Tannehill?
Here's what I would say, and you just think you look at his history. So Bill O'Brien, who I believe is an excellent play designer, caller, and offensively has done a really good job coaching offense in New England, at Penn State, with the Houston Texans, with a variety of quarterbacks. You know, Bill O'Brien, you know, moves on, and Houston decides to hang on to Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly then inherits a disaster of a quarterback situation in Houston, and Davis Mills ends up being one of the bright spots for their season. And so you think of the work that he's done, you know, at a time, you know, that he had Deshaun Watson, then to Davis Mills. I actually love the hire from the standpoint of, I think he knows how to coach offense. And I think that, and I think he can help the passing game. You know, it's always tricky when you're combining an offensive coordinator with a passing game coordinator. You know, you hope there's no ego involved and that guys can work together. But I'm always in favor, especially if guys are willing to kind of be team players and check the ego at the door, of adding good coaches that have good ideas to help get the most out of players. And so if you would have said, hey, predict the future for Tim Kelly, I would have said, hey, Bill O'Brien's going to get a head coaching job somewhere else, college or pros, and I would guess that he would want to hire Tim Kelly to be his offensive coordinator. So to say that, I think it's a good hire for the Titans.
Good stuff, Tim. Last 30 seconds real quick. You said you believe Russell Wilson's on the move. So just to go back on our original conversation, do you believe Aaron is going back to Green Bay?
I do. I just think that that's the best spot for him to win a Super Bowl, for him, for that team. I've mentioned to you guys before, the trade value is impossible to set. It's so high. And I think that he's mended some fences there.
Okay, good stuff. Hey, we got your prediction, too, as the Rams. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Hey, tell my brother I said hi, okay?
I'll tell Matt. Yeah, you said hello. Tim Hasselbeck, every week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Let me tell you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff can help you in a variety of ways. Maybe it's weight loss management. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to shed, whether it's, you know, because it's cold outside, you haven't been very active, or, you know, coming off the holidays, yeah, you tend to eat a little bit more. Well, look, they've got programs, products, and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, but it gets more challenging as we get older. Well, they can sit down and talk to you about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Have you had your levels checked? Have you been feeling off lately? Have you had the same drive, hasn't had the same energy, maybe experienced some mood swings? Well, all these things happen. They go down as you get older. But their staff can talk to you about BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. These are just some of the things they do under one roof there in Cool Springs. I'll be out there tomorrow after the show. 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Thank you, Jordan. How's Aaron doing? Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Curation CBD products, curated for life. Let's say hello and good afternoon to Senator Marsha Blackburn. She is on the line with us. She now joins us. Senator, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
It is. I'm doing well, and it's good to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. You've been outspoken. The Olympics are underway, but you've been outspoken on kind of this country and maybe, you know, we shouldn't be over there boycotting this. Tell us why you have felt so strongly for several months now on why we shouldn't be over there participating in these games.
Well, we have to start with the fact that we've never gotten an answer from the Communist Chinese as to the origins of COVID. So the health of our athletes is something that should concern all of us. The safety, the security, of course, now, as it is played out, they can't take any of their own electronic devices. They have to use a burner phone. They're required to download a Chinese Communist Party-approved app to use the digital yuan if they want to make a purchase. All of that is surveillance and tracking of our athletes. And this is why Senator Cotton and I, about a year ago, said, hey, let's do the USA Freedom Games. And let's let our well-trained athletes, who've worked, many of them, all their lives, to compete. And let them come here and compete, where we know they're going to be well cared for. They're going to be safe and secure. And, of course, the reports that are coming out about inadequate food, inadequate sleeping facilities, the discomfort of our athletes. We know that the Chinese Communist Party has already said they were conducting extreme censorship, as they call it, which is having their stamp of approval on every broadcast, every blog, every article, every post that comes out about the Olympics. All those are reasons we ought not to be there.
Yeah, if the food thing is true, I'd probably lose a lot of weight when I was over there because it did not look very good.
Yeah, but
that's
you don't
want
to do that while you're competing
right.
and trying to compete at your best ever.
No doubt. I know last week you held a roundtable discussion, and I believe former NBA player Royce White was a part of it. What were you guys discussing last week on this matter?
Yeah, we were looking at what is going on with the Olympics. And what we did last week with this, we had an activist who had worked with Hong Kong and the Freedom Fighters. We had someone who is Tibetan and after the 08 Olympics had worked on the issues with the human rights abuses of the Tibetans and the atrocities carried out in Tibet after those 08 Olympics. And then, of course, Royce White, who has been there, has been a competitive athlete, and he's been outspoken about the safety and security. And so we just talked about these. We also had an expert on, Gordon Chang, who looks at China policy and got his read on what he felt like the expectations for China carrying out the Olympics, the concerns that were arising from some of our allied nations, also about how the athletes were going to be treated, concerns about the International Olympic Committee and how they acquiesced to some of the Chinese Communist Party's demands.
Senator Marsha Blackburn is with us. So, Senator Blackburn, I think a lot of people were sharing your concerns leading up, but of course, we know that our athletes are there and they're competing and they're doing the best they can. So how do you feel about, you know, just watching them like a lot of us are, at least following them and hopefully supporting them, and hopefully they come back safe and everything, and hopefully they achieve their dream of winning a gold medal?
Well, and we do. We pray for their safety. We are following. We're cheering them on to do their best, to be safe, to be secure. We are certainly hopeful that with their eye on the gold, they will continue to go for that. We hope that some of the distractions with not enough food, not enough accommodations, will be something that they can overcome, and we're going to just keep cheering them all the way to victory.
So why did you feel it was important to continue the discussion, even though obviously the decision was made they're there, as you said before, and you just laid it out well.
Yeah.
You want them to do well while they're there. But why do you feel it's important to continue to get this message out?
What we have to do is remember that the Chinese Communist Party will continue to force their surveillance. They will continue to force their tracking. And it is important to raise awareness. It's so interesting to me, talking to Tennesseans every single day, how many people really had not followed what was taking place until it was time for the Olympics to begin. And then they really kind of tuned in. And so many people said, well, why did we go in the first place? And when you have some leaders in Congress who had not engaged in this issue, then coming out and saying to the athletes, well, just don't offend the Chinese Communist Party while you're there. That also caused people to say, well, why would we be there in this type of situation? And we know that China wants to be globally dominant by the time they get to 2050. We all get to 2050. This is their goal. And part of that global dominance has to do with pushing against us, whether it's their Belt and Road Initiative, their debt diplomacy, their great power competition, the way they're trying to diminish U.S. business, the way they go about stealing our intellectual property, and having people who are customers of companies hold those companies to account for manufacturing in China, for using slave labor, the Uyghur Muslims that are there in Xinjiang province. It is important for consumers to hold companies to account for their sponsorship or their broadcast of these Olympic Games because of the genocide and the human rights abuses that they are carrying out. So we've continued to push the issue. It is important to make people aware.
We're talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, I have to let's have some positivity. I know this is a tough subject to talk about, but we got a big football game coming up this weekend, Senator. Who do you like in the Super Bowl? I know it might be tough to pick the Bengals because they beat our Titans, but who's your pick?
Well, the Bengals did beat our Titans, and that was really sad for me. And we know that the Rams have Chandler Brewer. He is out of Middle Tennessee State University. They've got Kareem Moore, who's out of UT at Chattanooga. And so they've got a good Tennessee touch there on the Rams. So we just might have to be cheering for those Tennesseans.
I think that's a good way to put it. We appreciate you taking the time today to come on and talk to us about this issue. And hopefully good things will come here in the near future. But thank you for the time today.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us here on Darren Donick and Chase. We'll have more coming on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tomorrow morning, 8:45, your next chance to participate in Pick to Click. Preds will be back at it after an extended time off, 8 days, down in Big D tomorrow to take on the Stars. That'll be a 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 6. Pete and Hal will have your call at 7 o'clock here on these airwaves. Willie and his crew will be off on the television side, because tomorrow night, if you're looking for it on TV, it'll be on TNT. So keep that in mind when the Predators take on the Stars. But tomorrow morning at 8:45, your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. That's brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. What do? You call in, and if you get chosen, you're going to get on the air, and you're going to tell Robbie and Joe and Michelle what player is going to score tomorrow night. If that happens, you know what? You score. You can win a pair of tickets to see a future Predators home game. So very interesting discussion with Tim Hasselbeck. Because, by the way, Lee Steinberg coming up at 1 o'clock. Russell Wilson on the move. 0% chance that anybody not named Ryan Tannehill is under center as the Titans quarterback next year. And he believes Aaron Rodgers is for sure going back to Green Bay. Tim has been right a lot on this show over the years. I mean a lot. Now, he did say he didn't have any inside stuff. Remember, he told us Arthur Smith was going to be the Falcons head coach, right? On this show. He said it for weeks when nobody was saying it. What did you guys make of him putting out there when I said chances that anybody other than Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback for the Titans next year, he said 0% chance.
I mean, I wasn't really surprised by that answer.
Why would anybody be surprised? Isn't
zero pretty
odd,
strong?
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's,
I mean,
zero.
The GM
has been zero.
The GM has made it a point to talk about it in different publications and back him as the quarterback, which, again, I know you're going to come back with, well, what else do you want him to say? But he's in some ways going out of his way to do that. And they're stuck salary cap-wise. They're not going to make the change. I believe they've gone about as far as they can with him, but they believe in him, and they're going to stick with him. And from a contractual standpoint, they pretty much have to. It's going to be tough to get out of. So, I mean, I think 0% is not crazy to throw out there. So,
do you really think it's not 0%?
Well, I just think 0% is saying, you know, I mean, you're giving it no wiggle room whatsoever.
There is
which
none.
Is interesting. Okay.
Do you disagree?
It. No, I don't. I'm just saying I thought maybe it would be 5% or less. I didn't know I didn't think he would go zero.
What's the 5%?
Well, it does go back to, I know. I mean, I should say 0% because I just said many times on the show today, what are we talking about now? Like, we've missed that boat. That boat, we should have been doing this 2 years ago when it was realistic. Like, there was a real, like, you could actually make that happen. Like, this stuff we're talking about today is not realistic. Like, it's gone. It's gone. Can't do it. He's set to make almost $40 million next year. And you want to bring in a quarterback that makes above that and give up assets? Like, that ship has sailed.
And make all the very difficult decisions they're going to have to make with their own players. They're over the cap as it stands right now. And they've got a lot of work that they've got to do. Difficult decisions on a lot of players. So I think there's a lot of time and energy they have to spend on that. And
yeah,
that's why it's 0%.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't become a net better team by going down the road of coming up with another quarterback.
I think the curious thing is the Tim Kelly hire and what that's going to do. Now, you can look at the offenses that he had in Houston. He had Deshaun Watson. He had Bill O'Brien, obviously. So you can certainly make that argument that, okay, well, he had those factors and that's what made him good. But they're clearly addressing the passing game. You know, they're bringing him in to be the passing game coordinator. So, obviously, they're doing that to try and help Ryan Tannehill, and that shows the commitment to Ryan Tannehill. So, how much is that going to help? How much is that going to help Todd Downing from a play-calling standpoint as the offensive coordinator?
I think that hopefully will help. Hopefully, it would help to have A.J. Brown play 17 games, 16 or 17. That alone will help the passing game.
Well, I mean, the Jim Schwartz, I mean, I think it's in the same capacity. You know, that certainly helped, but I also thought there was nowhere for them to go but up. I mean,
and they went way up.
Better.
They did. They went into the top 10,
exceeded,
really.
Right, they exceeded going up, right? I mean, there was no way that it was going to get worse. No way. But it was like, how much better can it be? Well, we got our answer, a whole lot better. Of course, the head coach really doesn't talk much about the Jim Schwartz. And it looks like maybe he's on the move. By the way, did he interview for the Giants DC job, or was it just mentioned that they were interested in him?
I don't know for sure if he actually interviewed. That was brought up yesterday on the show. I can't remember who brought it up. I don't know. I think Teron, we were talking about this with Teron yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what he said, if it was an official interview or not.
Giants reportedly interview Jim Schwartz.
Okay.
So that was 2 days ago.
Because I asked the question, is he coming back? And that was Teron's answer as well. You know, he reportedly interviewed, I guess, with the Giants. So if he doesn't get a better opportunity, I hope he would be back, but I don't know that that's been determined. Has it? It certainly hasn't been announced that he won't be back.
No, but they haven't really announced any
right.
of these coaching moves.
Other than the people that they said are not coming back.
Right. But they haven't announced Tim Kelly. They haven't announced the linebackers coach that's
right.
also coming from Houston. So, yeah, I mean, they haven't done any of that yet.
Something that I want to get your old take on, because I'm a little bit conflicted. Because you've heard me say this, and maybe it's been a little bit more off the air, but in any profession, if you have to constantly bring in people to help your people that are in charge, do you really have the right people in charge if they constantly need help? Or is this just the new thing to do in coaching, just load up with tons of people on your staff? Because I have said that, and I firmly believe that. If you have people in place that are in charge, but you have to keep bringing in people to help them do their job, help them be better at being in charge, do you really have the right people in charge?
I think you want to use the resources that you have available to build the best team you have available.
Did he have to do that with Dean Pease?
Nope. No. I mean, Dean Pease
was... Did they
have
to do that with Dick LeBeau?
I mean, I think Dean Pease was brought in... Vrabel brought him in for him. Well, that was the guy he looked up to.
I agree with that. So, you see what I mean? Like, Dick LeBeau didn't have to have this special assistant.
Some don't, but I think you try to assess what you need for your team. Both can work.
Well,
it doesn't mean one is.
But doesn't that say, okay, one doesn't? Why? Because they've got the experience to handle the job, and the other ones don't have the experience, and so that's why I'm asking. So does that mean that they were ready? If you have to bring in people to constantly keep helping them?
At some point, you got to get the experience. You got to give them a chance. And if you want to give them, you want to surround them with good people to help them succeed while they gain the experience, that's a smart move.
Right. But Arthur Smith, that was the first time he was ever a coordinator. He's a guy who just climbed the ranks. They didn't have to go out and do that for him, did they?
They didn't.
You see what I mean? Like, obviously, I'm hinting at, well, that's because it seems like those people were maybe equipped to handle that. So,
but how would you know if Arthur Smith were equipped or not before he did it? The first half of the season when Marcus Mariota was the quarterback, some people were asking that question, whether he was equipped.
Right. And,
then all of a sudden,
they
put Ryan Tannehill in, and it was a perfect match.
Right, but so far it hasn't been – we've never gotten to that scenario, right?
With Todd Downing?
Yeah. Or
okay, but
– Todd Downing
but we,
or,
but we
Shane
know,
Bowen.
But we know the obvious. Shane Bowen was outstanding last year.
What, he also had
– He did. It,
he
and
beat
I'm,
somebody
okay,
helping.
So, I'm so glad you the, brought that up.
Do so, you think it was a coincidence?
No, but –
But
how
I think
can
he matured.
How can he do now? Like, if let's say Jim Schwartz, this was a one-and-done deal,
let's say
and he goes
– right.
He leaves. We don't know what Shane Bowen's going to look like.
We also don't know exactly what Jim Schwartz's influence was or wasn't when you get down to it. I think we all have a tremendous respect for Jim Schwartz, and I'm sure he helped. But at the end of the day, Shane Bowen was the guy in the trenches –
Correct.
Doing the stuff. And he had one more year under his belt,
but
and he made a jump. And the team, he had better players.
Thank you. That's what I was getting at. I also believe the personnel was better. You know, you had a pass rush.
And do you think the personnel was compromised some under Todd Downing last year?
I mean,
there's no
it's
question.
Well documented yes. with the injuries and,
so,
and
yeah.
everything. But
and if he got a little better draw next year,
the problem
I think the results will be better.
The problem is that Shane Bowen didn't have this and Arthur Smith didn't have this. Todd Downing had 1 year as a play caller and it wasn't good. And so you actually had a body of work to look at when he got the job and became the offensive coordinator. And that was what people kept bringing up. That, hey, that one year as the OC in Oakland wasn't very good. And so,
Like I said, what do you mean it wasn't very good? They were 12-5.
I know, but
okay, you're the offensive coordinator. Go call plays and win games without your best two wide receivers and the best running back in football. Go win. Good luck.
I know, and we've been over this.
Yeah, and they went 12-5. They went 12-5.
They did.
They're number one seed. You can't do any better. So it was not a failure.
Offense, defense won them games this year. So that's the reality of it. All right, Chase, tell everybody about BetMGM. We've got Lee Steinberg coming up at 1 o'clock.
I love talking about BetMGM. It's my favorite thing to talk about because they're the king of sportsbooks. They welcome you with a special offer on college basketball. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM Resorts nationwide. Just download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, just call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.